It is coming up to 11:30. I've been joined by my guest for today, Danielle Perkis from the Big Compost Experiment.
Hello.
Hello. Morning, Danielle. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks.
You're normally not here, are you? Normally in Cambridge. You're based in London.
That's right. Yeah, normally I live in London. And the group that I work with at the moment is at UCL, University College London.
But you're up here visiting family, and we grabbed you while you were here.
Yes.
So the Big Compost Experiment, what is it?
So it's a new citizen science project that we launched at the beginning of November this year. And the main principle was about trying to get some original information from people at home about how biodegradable or compostable plastics actually work in their home composting environments. And it's one of the key questions that we're sort of finding at the moment in our on our research group's work about plastic waste. So a lot of companies are looking at using biodegradable or compostable plastic as an alternative to other kinds of plastic materials. But one of the key things that a lot of manufacturers are claiming that these product materials actually will behave in a particular way in your home composter, and are in fact encouraging you to throw these things away in your home composter as a way of processing the waste. But we're finding from a lot of anecdotal information so far, from just talking to people at home or family friends who have been having a go at this already in the last year or so, that these things are not behaving in the way that they necessarily are described on the packaging. So this is a chance to try and get the public around the UK to really get involved, to help us actually find some very interesting, very original data that no one has at the moment about all these different home composting environments around the UK. But also to try and see what we can do about that in terms of, are there certain things about the communication of the labelling on the packaging which needs to be improved in order for people to know or understand what to do with them? Are there tighter regulations around how this stuff should be disposed of in order that it gets processed properly and doesn't cause a secondary environmental pollution problem?
So the idea of biodegradable and compostable packaging is that it would just break down into the earth and disappear.
Well, so this is sort of talking about the definitions is actually quite an interesting one. So biodegradable, the word biodegradable and the word compostable often get used interchangeably in packaging. They don't actually mean the same thing. So biodegradable indicates that a material will break down under the presence of microorganisms into something, but not necessarily something nutritious like compost, whereas compostability or compostable packaging indicates that it should break down into biomass and other materials which should be nutritious for growth and plants and agriculture. So they're slightly different, but they also do get used interchangeably on packaging, which is quite confusing.
Now compost. But lots of people, as you say, have compost heaps in their garden, or they have a little compost thing by the sink. Why is it good to compost?
So one of the biggest issues around food waste at the moment is that the majority of organic waste that you put potentially in your general waste bin, a lot of that might get sent to a landfill site. And the conditions in a landfill site mean that organic matter will break down anaerobically, which generally means it breaks down without oxygen present. And one of the problematic byproducts of that process is methane gas, which is in fact about 30 times more potent as a greenhouse gas than something like carbon dioxide. So we really need to try and reduce the amount of food waste that's going into something like landfill as a waste processing procedure. And one great way of doing that is actually using your home composting at home. So we can pop some food into your home composter, let it break down. It produces far less carbon dioxide in that process, and it also produces something very valuable at the end of it, which is compost, which you can use to fertilise your plants or houseplants, whatever, at home.
And it breaks down aerobically because it's not buried, is that the difference?
Yeah, so this is kind of an interesting one about home composting environments. So home composts require you to maintain them in order to ensure that they break down aerobically, not anaerobically. However, if you have a sort of an old, wet, damp composter that you might not have turned for a while and you've left it to just sort of do its own thing, it might have turned anaerobic, and you can often smell when that happens. It sort of produces a slightly more eggy, sulfurous sort of smell about it. So it does require a bit of maintenance and a bit of knowledge to actually maintain a home composter properly.
And looking at your website, people have been composting through history, haven't they? I hadn't been aware of this.
Yeah, yeah. So I think, it's amazing to sort of think about how people have related to food waste, but if you think about it in another way, we've always eaten food, we've always produced waste that has sort of an organic nature to it. And I think very early on people would have realised the value of putting that back on the land and actually we're using it to fertilise and grow new crops, for instance. So yeah, it's been going on for a very, very long time, but most recently I think that in World War One, World War Two in this country, that's given people a slightly different idea of what food waste and wasting things meant and the value of something and these processes. So I think the Women's Institute, for instance, was started originally to try and reduce food waste. So that was a kind of initiative in response to the conditions of World War One. And then World War Two, subsequently, rationing was part of that process. But there were these huge drives in trying to reduce the amount of organic waste that people were producing.
And I know you're looking at what's happening to the waste, but presumably you are, as part of that, you're pleased, you're encouraging people to use biodegradable plastics.
So we, at the moment, we're, I think the jury's out really on it. I think we need to gather enough data and analyse it to actually understand the implications of it. So there are some positives to biodegradable and compostable plastics. So the idea, if you can control the way that they break down and you can use that system effectively, it does mean that you potentially might produce potentially less pollution in the environment. But it only works if there's a functioning system in place to process that. So I think the main message is there's no inherently sustainable materials. There's only sustainable systems in which a material is used or produced or thrown away or reused again. So that's kind of the emphasis on this project, is trying to find out what that system might be in order for potentially a biodegradable or compostable plastic product to work well.
And how do we know whether it's biodegradable plastic? Does it say on it? I mean, I have to say, I've not been aware that this is something that I should be looking out for.
Yeah, this is another key issue, which we're also trying to identify through the first part of the big compost experiment survey. It's actually understanding what people do with it, whether they're more likely to buy this material. And the way that consumers or people in the shop might make choices about these products is you first look on the packaging and you have a look and see what it's made from. Unfortunately, in the UK, we haven't got our own compostability or home compostability certification standards. So currently there are symbols that are from certification schemes outside of the UK and Europe and globally that get stamped on a piece of packaging. And it has all the words that look very kind of useful on them, things like home and compostable, and they might have a picture of something that looks like a little seedling, and all of that stuff, that sort of symbolism and language indicates something to people. And we want to find out what that is at the moment, because actually the translation I suppose the understanding of that is not clear at the moment. People are kind of confused as to what that means. So you're basically relying on what the piece packaging says. Does it say biodegradable or compostable? Does it have a certification scheme on it? But those things are not controlled yet in the UK, and we think that they should be, and they should be more regulated so that people aren't confused and it's not this kind of greenwashing problem of things looking like they might behave in a certain way when they don't.
And people, you're still looking for people to do this experiment, this survey. So if people go to your website, bigcompostexperiment.org.uk, they can still take part in this survey and help you.
Yes, please. More the merrier. We have, since we've started in November, we've got about 770 home composting experiments around the UK, which is amazing. We've had about 4,000 surveys filled in, but we really need more if possible. So if we can get more home composting experiments going on around in different environments around the UK, it helps us to get a more reliable set of information from all the tests. So yes, please do sign up.
And what will this information be fed back to companies or to government?
So we're part of what the information will be used for is informing some advisory policy documents. So we're going to look at working with policymakers to highlight where there are kind of gaps or grey areas in current policy about labelling for biodegradables and compostables. We're also going to look at the gaps in current infrastructure around the UK and make recommendations of what needs to be put in place for those products and materials to be processed properly so we don't get a secondary environmental pollution problem. But also we're going to feedback the information to everybody and share it online as a kind of open source gallery. So if you have a look on our website, we've got a gallery page and we've got a UK live composting map, which you can take part in and see yourself on.
So help us, Danielle. So there's, as you say, this is not necessarily straightforward. What we think we buy and we might not be buying, and particularly this time of year when we're buying a lot of things. How can we know what's the best thing to buy in shops, and how can we have an eco-friendlier Christmas?
So yeah, a lot of people ask me this at the moment. It's obviously a very popular time of year, and I think the old reduce, reuse, recycle saying is probably most useful in this. So questioning why we're using certain materials for things like wrapping paper, is there a way that you can reduce the need for that by using potentially reusable materials? So for instance, there are kind of ancient traditions from Japan and Korea where people would wrap presents in fabric, reusable fabric cloth or fabric bags. And if you can sort of slightly change your behaviour towards reusing things rather than disposing of them in single use, and that's kind of the main way of reducing your overall waste and impact. Also things like avoiding things like glitter and things like that, which can be incredibly difficult for recycling facilities to process. And the ongoing problem with that is it causes contamination in the products that they make. So,
and it's in your carpet for years.
Yeah,
as well.
Or in your hair, you know.
And what are you doing for Christmas? I mean, you're bearing all this in mind for your own Christmas, I guess.
I feel like since really sort of working with this project and really researching the in-depth details of how things get thrown away, it's made me feel very different about what we buy at Christmas time and how you wrap things up and present them, but also things like food waste and the issue of for instance, eating sort of meat-based diets at Christmas. So me and my husband are sort of grappling with turning into vegetarians at the moment, and for us it obviously involves a lot of changing old habits, but we can sort of see the benefit of it in so many other ways. So that's a sort of changing Christmas for us.
Oh, I recommend it. I've been a vegetarian for 35 years.
Great.
So, just a kind of top line, if we're looking and wanting to buy, it's really hard to avoid buying things that are covered in plastic. Is there a better plastic that we can buy that I know it's not clear cut, as you've just said, but just give us a little bit of help.
So I think at the moment, because the main emphasis on this project at the moment is that there isn't a system in which you can throw biodegradables away, and we do have some very good systems which are still improving every year, for instance, which is the kind of regular recycling system for plastics like PET, polypropylene, so things like you would buy in tubs, trays, milk bottles. I think from our point of view, that system already exists and it's getting quite good, and that would make sense in a lot of ways to try and encourage people to either just use less plastic or use the plastics, or encourage use of plastics which are fully recyclable, rather than diverting that attention away to a new type of material which doesn't have a sort of proper recycling process for it yet.
Which you're not sure about yet.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that the main advice would be to try and reuse less, reuse it, or try and use things that are already well recycled.
And bigcompostexperiment.org.uk is the website if people want to visit that. What's your background, Daniel? How did you get into this work?
I'm actually an architect at my background. So my current focus on this work is looking at really systems design. So it's looking at the way in which people and culture and social practices all come together in something like a material system. So I'm focusing on plastics in this particular instance, but I think it's fascinating to see how plastics, biodegradable plastics, how that suddenly starts to come into sort of other cultural complex systems. So yeah, that's my background.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, that website again, bigcompostexperiment.org.uk. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Coming in to chat, Danielle, and have a lovely Christmas.
Thank you, you too.